Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, well, I guess we'll have to do this podcast.
Oh, my goodness, Claire. How was your summer break? I say knowing every single thing that happened to you.
We spent way too much time together. We somehow spent more time together than we regularly do, and we live together / work together.
I know. I even attempted to move out, but I lost confidence when I got to the front door.
Yeah, you don't like to leave the house anymore.
My shoes are on the wrong feet. I'm like, well, I can't.
You can't be going out like that with shoes on the wrong feet. Oh, no. This is Suggestible Pod, a podcast where we suggest things to you. I'm Claire.
I'm
the
James.
Other son of a bee is James over there. I don't know why I said it like that. And we are going to start, as always, by recommending that James goes first.
I accept your recommendation, Claire.
You're welcome.
I swore that I'd read a book. Over the summer.
Oh, God. He's like, he's read one book in a year and he's decided that he's like some kind of champion.
No, I'll have you know.
On the couch, you even said to me, books are pretty good.
Books are pretty good. I suddenly get the fuss.
Yeah.
Because I used to read all the time, but it turns out that you can just put on the TV. You don't have to read anything. It's like pictures.
All right.
It's like pictures instead of words.
All right.
And the words. And
you
and then
read comics a lot, though.
I do read a lot of comics.
Correct.
But anyway, I actually managed to read like 2/3 of 2 different books, which I'm still working on.
You didn't actually read
no, I didn't.
A book.
But the one that I'm going to recommend is Exhalation. It's by Ted Chiang, who you might know. He wrote the short story, Story of Your Life, which Arrival was based on, the movie Arrival.
Yes. Let me guess. This is somehow set in a post-apocalyptic future.
No.
AI-related, alien-related, something to do with the world coming to an end, bleak, dark, terrible.
Some of it is that because it's a collection of short stories, which I bloody love. There's one that, in particular, there is one called The Life Cycle of Software Objects, which is about raising an AI in a computer system or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But the implication of that.
It's like literally everything you read ever.
There's one about like a mechanical beings from a different planet who.
What do you mean robots?
No, they're not. Well, they're sort of robots. I guess they are.
A mechanical being.
Yeah,
is
but
a
the
robot.
Whole system is based on like gas.
I am a mechanical being. No, I'm a robot.
It's the same. Don't.
What if you woke up one morning and I told you that I was a robot?
I don't know. I'd put my shoes on the wrong feet. I'd get to the door and then I'd lose confidence and I'd go, "What am I going? Really? Realistic?
I think
where
quite
am I going?
A sexy robot. Hello." Good morning,
I'm not
James.
One of those. There are, I know.
What can I
the
do
people
for
who
you?
Love
there's anything?
A, there's a whole sexy robot subculture yeah. thing. It's really not.
I watched
my
a documentary
jam.
About that. Yeah, do you remember that years ago? There was like guys having girl sex robots.
Yeah, it's a whole no industry. Good. Look, man, yeah. I'm not against it because really, who are you hurting? Like, whatever. Like, fill your boots.
Potentially the sex.
Well,
robot.
That's the thing though. Like, if the robot
fill
becomes
your
more,
boots?
It's a expression.
With what?
Semen, Claire. No.
For a while looking at your sex robot.
No, it's an expression. You don't know the expression, fill your boots?
No.
It's basically like do whatever you want. But
who's filling their boots with anything?
It's an expression.
Other than their feet.
Yeah, that's what it's saying. Fill your boots with your feet. Do what you want.
What?
It's like, I don't know if it's a strange expression.
This
I don't
is
know.
Like that same expression that you used, I wouldn't kick her out of bed for farting.
Which is a real expression too.
It absolutely out. Is. We had a massive argument about it. It turns out it is. Anyway, this is off topic. We dive.
Oh, is
we
it?
Digress.
Well, I should point out that the off topicness of that had nothing to do with me.
You never kicked me out of bed for farting.
I'm trying to think if I have. I'm sure it's the opposite is definitely.
I have. I get mad at you. Yours is so bad. I get mad. I cried one time. That was so bad. You're laughing so much. I get so cross and they're silent. So you'll do it, then you'll leave the room and then I have to just sit in your stench. And it's always when I've got really comfortable and I'm reading a good book.
Okay, look, if you want to put your shoes on and leave, Claire, if you want to feel your boots and walk out the door, you're more than welcome to. My favourite story though so far and it is the first one. It's called The Merchant and the Alchemist's Gate and it's basically a guy who comes across a market, this man who's essentially got a – it's a time travel machine. It's not – but it's done with like – alchemy as opposed to like You know, alchemy is like a science that's not really real.
Yeah. I've read The Alchemist. I love that book.
I tried to get through it, but it's basically like, what's your purpose and fucking blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I didn't want a bar of it. I didn't finish that one either. But it proposes like that you can go back in time to when the gate was like the earliest, like sometimes 20 years in the past. So you can visit yourself in the past and like assist yourself. And in this universe, everything that happens is predetermined. So if you go into the future and you want to see how successful you are and you're not successful, you can't change that. So it's a double-edged blade. Like you could go and you're successful and then your future self can help your past self to get to that position. But if you go to the future and you're not successful, you can't change that you're successful. Does that make sense?
Ooh, yeah.
So it's about kind of cause and effect and, you know, and purpose and like is there really like a set destiny for every single person or whatever? Anyway, I really like that story. Or purpose, then, yeah.
It sounds a lot like About Time, one of my favorite movies.
But that one, they could change it. They could change.
Oh, they could go back again.
Yeah. Though I think the rules of About Time, it's not that movie's really about that, but the rules are there's no real butterfly effect. You're not really damaging.
Yes, there is.
That much.
Yeah. If he goes back in time and changes things and then his sister ends up like...
Yes, but there's no... Like you can't change major world events.
Oh, okay. Well, no, they don't address that. It's more about he meets the love of his life.
The time travel rules don't make sense in that, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all in that movie.
What about the romance?
Well, it's not even about that. I think it's about like family relationships, I feel. Like that's the strength of that movie.
And just the magic in the ordinary day.
And the magic in the ordinary day. And read a book. Read a Charles Dickens book or whatever.
Anyway, what was that book called that you suggested? It's called
Exhalation, Stories. Brackets.
Colon Stories. About your colon.
As in colon. As in,
oh, colon.
Aren't they both spelled? Are they both spelled that way?
Who knows?
I'm not good at spelling, and
this
I never
is
have been.
Time
and
to
now that I'm
a
not
podcast.
A teacher, I don't have to be anymore either.
All right.
Anyway, what are you
all right.
up to?
Hello. Okay. Well, talking about someone who doesn't like reading that much anymore, you do. But I have read a book called Educated by Tara Westover, and it is brilliant. Obama put it on his top reading list for 2018. Bill Gates also recommended this book. It is excellent. It's really a memoir. Tara is 33, so she was born in 1986. She was raised in rural Idaho. What's fascinating about this is that she was raised by parents who were radical survivalist Mormons who believed that they were preparing for the end of days. And her dad was kind of this sort of epic, sort of radical visionary, hardcore religious, seemingly possibly bipolar. She mentions that in the memoir. And he worked in a junkyard kind of scrapping metal as well as like building sheds and things. But he didn't believe in the medical profession. And he's kind of bipolar as her childhood progresses, gets more and more extreme. So she doesn't ever go to school. He doesn't let her go to school. Technically, she's homeschooled, but that doesn't really happen. She didn't have a birth certificate until she was 9.
And all these things would obviously be normal because what else do you know?
Well, so she's really isolated from the outside world. They live at the foothills of this mountain. And so her mother is a herbalist and she kind of treats any of their injuries with her herbal concoctions, and she's also an unregistered midwife. So there are other families in the area who also homeschool and are Mormon. So it's a very kind of heavily indoctrinated Christian community.
Sounds good.
Anyway, what's really fascinating about it is that she ends up somehow going and studying the ACT exam, I think because she's extremely bright. She ends up managing to get into Brigham University, having never completed her high school certificate and never going to school or even primary school. And so she enters university only ever understanding or knowing what she's taught herself really and what she's been inspired to learn through her older siblings. She has quite a large family.
Right.
She's also an incredible musician too and a singer. And what's really interesting about that is she gets to university and she makes a lot of terrible errors, one of which is in her history class, they're dissecting a painting that's kind of representing the Holocaust, and she just puts up her hand and asks, what's the Holocaust?
Whoa.
Yeah, and she's 18. And they think everybody, like they all think she's making fun of the painting basically and thinks she's been incredibly insensitive and racist. So then she goes as an 18-year-old woman to study what the Holocaust is.
Yeah.
That's the kind of level of thinking. So she really had no understanding of the world outside her really small rural out of her community and the Mormon kind of doctrine. But anyway, from there, she basically teaches herself and eventually gets into Cambridge University, and she now has a PhD from Cambridge.
Holy hell.
On a scholarship.
Yeah.
Which is, it's just extraordinary.
How much do you think is a person doing these things is like intelligence and inbuilt drive, and how much is luck, you know what I mean? Because I feel like for a lot of people, like if that happened to me, if I grew up in like a weird community, I'd probably just still be there, you know what I mean? Like I'd just be like, yeah. I guess this is everything, you know what I mean?
Oh, look, I don't know. I mean, I think she suffered a lot of abuse, physical and emotional abuse from her older brother, and yes. that's really traumatic as she grows into womanhood.
And does that cause her to kind of find outlets and...
Yeah, it does, outside of herself. I mean, I think the position she was in her family became untenable because she was so bright. Mm. She was being stifled and squashed. And as she became a woman, it became even more apparent. There was a lot of stuff around slut shaming, basically.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, women being impure and all this kind of stuff, and women had to cover up. And if they were showing any kind of neckline or any kind of makeup or anything, then they were whores and... you know, this kind of really entrenched misogyny within the family unit.
Yeah.
So I think she almost just reached a point where she had to break free. The other crazy part of it was that they didn't believe in medicine, Western medicine in hospitals. Her dad had this deep suspicion of the government. But they would suffer, her family suffered these horrific injuries. Like the whole family was in a horrific car accident. Her mother had an acquired brain injury,
yeah.
but he refused to take her to the hospital. And so she recovered over months, but just never was herself again.
Yeah, of course.
You know, her siblings were horribly disfigured by the scrap metal in the yard because her dad would have these kind of manic episodes where he would just throw scrap metal everywhere. And she was severely injured too. Like her siblings lost limbs, lost fingers. At one point there's a giant explosion and her dad is basically melted in an inferno. Half his face melts off. He manages to crawl through fields. He was up in the mountain. Your face is like losing your mind.
It's a real guy, just to clarify.
A real story, yeah. He crawls back to the family home, and even though his face is melted off, his hands have melted off, he refused to go and see a doctor, and so her mother treats him, and all of the women in the community come over for months and treat his burns. And burns are kind of some of the most painful injuries you could ever sustain, and he refuses. His ears melted. Like he refused to go and get any kind of pain relief other than what the herbalist mother had created. Yeah, but he survived somehow. He
always died. The worst people always do.
Yeah, right. But now he's horribly disfigured.
He's still alive?
Yeah, but he's horribly disfigured. His hands are like completely mangled because all of their tendons kind of curled.
The photos of this guy?
Not online, not that I've seen.
Mm.
But he, because she uses pseudonyms in the memoir, because she's now estranged from her family.
Yeah, probably because of, you know, he's a horrible monster.
Yeah, it's crazy though, but her family, as she becomes educated, they become more and more radical. Because originally her mother was really, she grew up in a ostensibly fairly moderate, normal household.
Yeah.
But after this brain injury, she became more and more kind of obsessed with that whole world of Mormonism and the government's against us and it's the apocalypse. He was preparing for the end of days, and she has this story of him sitting in front of the TV. She hid, stockpiled all this oil and petrol and guns and food and everything for Y2K.
Petrol doesn't keep.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, but I just think that's really funny. Yeah. But this guy's got a whole lot of expired petrol.
Anyway, it was explosives, all kinds of stuff. He's stockpiled for the end of days, and then she just remembers him sitting in front of the TV as it clocked over midnight and nothing happened. Yeah, I know. And he just got more and more enraged from then, I think. That
of course.
Was obvious because he had...
Because nobody wants to be, I think, and this isn't true of everybody, but you don't want to really think of the world kind of going on after you've gone, you know?
I guess so.
I think some people, like, you know, they can't accept that you'll die and then the world will keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's not what he was about. He was talking about...
No, he seems like he's mad because the world didn't end.
Yeah, and he wasn't proved right, I guess. His theories weren't proved right.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I don't know. I mean, obviously, from the sounds of it, he suffers from bipolar. And part of bipolar are grandiose visions, basically. But he's also got a lot of entrenched ideas that are pretty horrible. Yeah. What she does discuss, though, and what is really clear in the book,
name.
Tara Westover, was that there is also so much love in her family, and that's what she finds struggles with throughout the book.
She's 33.
Yeah, she's really young. That her parents and her siblings, as much as they were difficult and there was a lot of abuse that happened, there was so much love within her family too, and she never doubted that they weren't, they didn't think they were doing the best for her. You know, like she'd never taken Panadol or ibuprofen until she went to university and just couldn't believe it when she had a toothache and took Panadol and it went away.
Yeah, right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just really, it's an amazing book and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, okay. Mm. That does sound really good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I took our son to a movie this week. I was going to take him to see Dr. Doolittle because I was like, oh, I guess, well, you know, when he wants to see a movie, I guess I'm going to watch the movie where they pull a set of bagpipes out of a dragon's ass.
Why? You can't take him to that.
Just how that movie culminates. Actually,
dear God.
Me and Mason recently talked about this on my more popular show, The Weekly Planet. But basically,
stop rubbing salt in the wounds.
They or
go fill your boots.
Stop sticking your bagpipes in a dragon's ass, as the expression is. But basically, they reshot the end of this movie to include the dragon bit to kind of fix it, to make it more appealing. It's a $175 million movie. They reckon it's going to lose like $100 million. Anyway, I was like, when I was looking up times, I was very pleased to see that Aardman Animations, who are behind Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep and some other stop motion and sometimes not stop motion stuff, they've got a new movie. I think it's been out for a very long time. It's called Shaun the Sheep Farmageddon. And if anyone knows Shaun...
That's pretty much it.
Pretty much. He's like a mischievous sheep, and you know he's always trying to trip the farm dog. But this is about him protecting like an alien that lands on his property, and it's just a cute, fun movie. It's not the thing I really wanted to talk about. I just wanted to mention that briefly.
Yeah, our son was sort of like quite telling me he sort of just launches mid sentence into stories about things that I don't understand. But this was particularly confusing when he's like, "The alien and then
that's
the sheep,
a robot,
robot sheep alien,
and there's some like adult jokes in there and references, which is good. There's
always good when you're seeing a kid film,
there's just some funny little moments. And I've always just admired the work that those guys do and the dedication to that style of animation. I just think it's really impressive. Yeah.
It's amazing.
There's like a simplicity to it, but it's also incredibly complicated at the same time.
I remember really like doing simple ones at school.
Yeah, same. Yeah. You can see like the thumbprints on some of them sometimes from the people, you know, moving them around, you know, so you can see the human thumbprints. Because you know how it is. You take a quarter of a second of footage, you move it a millimeter, take another quarter of a second, and then you do that forever, you know, so it takes months, years and teams and a score of people to do this. And I just really think that's really cool. But what I want to talk about, sorry, I'm going to sneak another one in.
Oh, you're doing
to
me.
Mind. I'm doing you.
You're going outside the rules.
This actually isn't out here, but luckily I had someone in the US send me a screener, so I really appreciated that person who I'm not going to name. Yeah, but Uncut Gems is an Adam Sandler movie. It's a drama, high stakes kind of situation where he's a jeweler and he's a hustler and he's got huge gambling debts, and it follows basically a day in the life of this New York jeweler around New York as his kind of family's falling apart and he's got this new girlfriend and he's involved with all these underworld figures and he's just trying to stay like one step ahead of the debt collector, the multiple debt collectors that are after him, some of them from family, while also chasing down like people that owe him money so he can kind of make the next bet to win the next thing. And it's got Kevin Garnett is in it, who's a basketball player. And he's actually really good. Like he was an NBA player and it's set in 2012. And he bets money on that. The basketball player is actually in the movie, and then you see the games and how that kind of affects the real games that kind of happened and how that affects his life. And it's just an incredible movie. Like it's really stressful and he's really great. Like he's terrific. And he said If I don't get like an Oscar nomination from this, I'm going to make the movie so bad on purpose, like the worst movie I've ever made on purpose. And he ended up not getting a nomination, so I hope he does. He does end up doing that, but Uncut Gems is terrific. Wow.
So yeah. Is it not? So Adam Sandler's not playing a comedic role.
No, I mean he's funny, but he's not.
But it's no, not it's a not, comedy, and not, it's not goofy. Or,
no, it is funny. Like there's some funny stuff in it, but it's mostly like I don't even know. It's like Red Bull the movie and like anxiety. Like that's what it is.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but it's terrific.
It's really good.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah,
I will check that out. Mm. I'd be curious to see. I reckon I really like that.
That's and I can't emphasize enough that like how good he is in that movie. And even though I hate his movies for the most part, like I admire him for what he's done and like his work ethic and the way he looks after his friends and his family, and he makes the things that he wants to make and things that people also enjoy. So you know. Whatever.
Good on him, Adam Sandler. He's had some hits and misses, though.
Oh, he's had, yeah, definitely.
You know what? I love The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, I like The Wedding Singer. With Drew Barrymore. Yeah.
I think that's a really great film, I agree. And he's really good in it.
Yeah, I like, like 51st Dates, I don't mind. Happy Gilmore. But yeah, there's also some
really terrible utter ones.
Trash.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what I struggle with because he made some really terrible
Jack
movies.
And Jill, you familiar with that one? Where he played his twin sister.
What's the one with Rachel from Friends, Jennifer?
What's
her name?
Oh, yeah, another one.
My brain. Oh.
Jennifer Aniston, you're talking
Jennifer
about.
Jennifer Aniston, yeah, my brain's gone. It's too late. We shouldn't record at night time.
Well, good thing I've had a bloody Coke, no sugar.
I know, I had a frosty.
Just
fruit.
Go with it, it's cool.
Delicious as a nice pole.
Could just go with it.
Okay, anyway, yeah, that film where she plays his love interest and I don't know.
Or something. Like it.
Can I move on? Can we talk about my thing?
No.
Mm.
All right.
Okay, cool. I want to talk about cookies. Yes. I have done a fair amount of cooking. I've got back into cookies. Why are you laughing?
Because, like, I wasn't going to champion you on that one, so you championed yourself, but I admire that. You're like, cookies. You looked at me and I'm like, silent. Yeah, then you're like, yes.
Fair, that's your go-to reaction to everything. Okay, so this week I opened up my book Midnight Chicken that I've talked about before, which is a brilliant recipe book.
Get over that
novel.
Book, Claire.
It's beautiful. It's just hopeful. Ella Rizzi.
Put it in a backpack and jump in a lake.
No, go fill your boots with semen or whatever it is that you wanted to
that
do.
I want to do.
While looking at a sex robot. I'm making choc chip cookies. Where's this show devolved? First episode of the year, of the decade, and this is where we've landed.
Well, technically the decade
Good
starts in 2021. Yeah,
oh,
that guy, yeah.
Shut your pie hole. Anywho, and put some choc chip cookies in there. So Midnight Chicken, I've talked about it before, brilliant recipe book. It's hopeful. It's just a beautiful read as well. It's about how food kind of brought Ella back to life, really. And she has a brilliant recipe for choc chip cookies in there. Mm. And I made them. What did you think?
They were incredible. And there was a salt. You put in some sea salt and I had them fresh and it was amazing.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I ate too many of them.
Oh, they're so good. I'll put the recipe on our Instagram.
No, you don't have to.
Suggestible pods.
No, you don't have to worry. Don't worry about it.
Oh, what? You're the bloody worst.
No,
anyway.
No, don't, honestly, don't worry about it.
Also, what's genius about it
is it's not a problem. It won't be there.
Shut up.
If people look for it, it won't be there. I'll make sure of it.
Not the bloody best. Anyway, the secret is you only cook them for 10 minutes because if you cook them for longer, they start to go hard and you want them to kind of gooey and delicious.
You write a secret in a book. Is it a secret? No. Wouldn't you say the trick is? Would that be the appropriate
Just
expression?
Stop being critical.
I'm not being critical. I'm asking genuine questions. I'm trying to
you
help.
You know what? I'm going to tell everybody the secret early that we're going to wait till later, but I'm going to tell them now and then you'll feel bad for making fun of a pregnant woman because I'm pregnant.
Oh, my God. This is how you tell me?
That's why my brain has been gone for ages and I get really slow and I've been eating a lot of cake.
So, yeah, for those who don't know, which is probably most of the people listening
probably
to this,
don't
that
care.
We have some friends and family that do listen, which is quite nice. More people than listen. Actually, we have more friends and family that listen to this than listen to my more successful podcast.
I wonder why that is. Yeah, because it's a better show. No, not really. It's because it's only half an hour.
Might be it.
Might be.
But we've got another kid on the way.
Another Sunday is entering
That's
the Sunday.
Right. We're not going to say boy or girl, are we? We're not going to.
What do we think?
At this point? No, why don't we wait?
We'll wait.
That being said, like if this was somebody else who was like, guess what? I'm pregnant on the podcast, I'd be like, who gives a shit? So like this is really bold of us to be like, hey everybody, care about this thing that only that only really affects us and nobody else.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Exactly. I'm fairly far along too. So
yes.
Yeah. We haven't told people for a while.
No.
But we might have kept it a secret. I've been feeling nauseous as all hell.
Yeah. And
couldn't tell
doing
anybody.
Really, really well because you've had months and months of nausea and aches and pains and tiredness and like stretching muscles.
Yes, because I'm alien Sigourney Weaver style with an alien thing inside me that's pushing it.
I don't know why this happens to people. It seems wrong.
I just feel like it's not a particularly efficient way of, continuing the human population.
An efficient way would be somebody pulls up to your house in a really fast car and they hold and they hand you like an adult person and they're like, "This is your son," and you're like, "Brilliant."
Well, and they're exactly like you.
No, they're a bit younger, but they're like no stuff already. They're like, "You want to play basketball?" And you're like, "Let's play some basketball."
I just think, do you know, like most creatures in the animal kingdom, say a horse, for instance, gives birth to a baby horse.
A horse gives birth to a horse. Oh, my God. Is that true? I'm just going to check. Let me just Google that.
Nothing but the best scientific information on this show. This is where you go for your science. No, but the horse just gets up immediately, basically, after it gets out of the weird sticky goo and walks over and just starts eating.
Yeah.
Or maybe drinking some milk.
It's to do with brain development. Because if humans, I believe it is, if human babies were born like with the knowledge to like walk and, you know, kind of function a little bit, their head, they would be so big that they'd kill you. So that's why they're born. And they can't do literally anything.
And it already feels like that as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
They're like, so
dear God.
They can only kind of start to be useful to themselves, not others, mind you, and maybe two. And then maybe when they're six, they can help you at some point, I assume.
Aww,
let me know when that happens. But
Sunday kid is pretty good.
Yeah, so that's why a giraffe could, it's the same with giraffes, they can like walk around and whatever. And even like koalas and shit, they're like grip.
Yeah.
They can hold on.
I know. I told you, didn't I, that wombats, which are very gorgeous, and there used to be giant wombats in Australia actually, but wombats have a backwards pouch.
Yes.
So the baby wombat pokes its head out and it's literally underneath the wombat's anus. Just looking around.
Is that so when it digs, it doesn't like flick
dirt into the pouch.
Into its anus, yeah.
Yeah. So instead, it's like right underneath the poop hole instead of looking forwards. I can't decide if it's better or worse. Maybe I think I'd prefer to just get dust in my pouch.
You think?
Anyway, I'm not a wombat.
I think,
I'm a
human
being.
Definitely know better than billions of years of evolution.
I guess, right. So. How crazy is that, though? There used to be like giant wombats that were the size of cars.
It was giant everything. I don't care.
Walking
give me a cricket bat. I'll kill one. I don't mind.
No, what's it's a baseball bat that you happen
that's
to
true.
Own.
Wombats are like, I don't know if people know this, wombats are pretty big. They're like over a meter long. They're not like, I used to think they were like.
Tiny and cute.
As big as like a, I don't know, what's how big's that?
Like kind of like a cat.
Yeah, like a cat size, but they're not. They're enormous.
Yeah, they are. And they'll kill you.
Yeah, and if you hit one in your
I
car.
I don't know if they'll kill you, but
they might. But
if, they're solid.
If you hit one with your car, it will fuck up your car. Like you probably kill it, but it would destroy your car.
Serious damage. There was a really beautiful story because we've been obviously going through, as most people have heard, some really extreme bushfires. I mean, we're fine when we are.
Oh,
down
it's
south,
big news
but,
here.
But it's been really full on. Anyway, there was this beautiful story about how wombat holes are being used by other creatures like echidnas and rabbits and things to shelter from the fires.
I also heard the wombats were doing that to lure in other animals and eat them.
Wombats don't eat other animals.
No, they do in the extreme
They do
conditions.
Have square green poo.
That's true.
I told my son that and he loved it.
He did.
They're square. Like rabbits and kangaroos are round, but wombats are square.
Yeah, they're a weird one.
They are. We have some weird ass animals. Anyway, back to what
that's
we were
true.
Saying.
That's not true. They weren't really killing
yes,
killing
Yes, I am pregnant. Pregnant.
Yeah, so next week, if you want to come back for this, and believe me, you might not want to.
We're gonna
recommend a bunch of stuff that had helped us through raising kids. And
we're gonna do an episode entitled
"Childbirth and Whatever
Parenthood: What Not to Do."
What not to do? Yeah, how to get it right the second time.
Oh God, our poor son. If he ever listens to this, we love you, mate. Yeah, so that'll be next week's episode.
But also, if people have suggestions. for stuff.
To watch, read, and listen to. And stuff that just helped you prepare or wish, or stuff maybe even that you wish you'd known when you were impending into parenthood. Because we actually, a lot of our listeners and people in the Planet Broadcasting community in general are becoming new parents or have just become parents.
Or have parents.
Or have parents of their own. Even like, for example, our wonderful friend Charlie Clawson from TOFA has had a baby. Well, his wife Gemma has had a baby fairly recently. Yeah, so we'd love to hear from you at SuggestiblePod on Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook and all in the Planet Broadcasting Great Masters group. Or, you can also put your suggestions over there.
That's right. Terrifico.
Terrifico.
Is that the show?
Terrifico. Yeah, that's it.
Great. Well, I've got a review here which people can do. They can do it in app. We've had so many lovely reviews over the break and really appreciate that. This one from Roger Moon. He says, this is a review of a thing. He says, I started listening to Suggestible because of James but stay because of Craig. Brackets Greg. 10 out of 10 would recommend. So it can be as simple, simple as that. It's as easy as that. It's really great. It really helps out the show. And the number, like, not that it really matters necessarily, but like, we really appreciate that we see people coming back every week.
Oh, it makes so much difference to us. Yeah. It's pretty fun. Uh oh, I left my phone in the other room and it's got my thing in it. Hold on.
Your what in it?
My baby.
Your baby?
I'm coming back. Hold on.
All right. Well, I'm not going to be here when you get back. Actually, I have to be here. There's only one door. I can't actually leave. I always leave the house. I left the house before.
I always get shocked because you never leave the house. And when you say you have plans, I always think, why? Where are you off to? To see your mother, probably.
There's nothing wrong with man seeing his mother, Claire. I'll have you know.
I know. Your mum's great, of course. Hold on. Nothing but professionalism here. Sorry, colleagues. Man, I'm sorry, mate. That guy, he's an absolute legend.
For those
legend.
Who don't know, Collings edits this podcast.
He does, and he's a bloody legend, and he's long-suffering. All right, I burped really as well. Is. I'm so sorry. This pregnancy thing is a full-on time.
Yeah, well, just wait till Claire just keeps using this as an excuse for the next 6 years. Be like, I'm pregnant. Don't even.
For 6 years?
Yeah, you're still riding high off the first one, if I'm honest.
Hey, when you push a living human being out of your bits, come talk to me.
I will.
All right, surely one day they're going to invent a better way to create humans.
Yeah, I told you, people drive up in a fast car and they hand you an adult.
All right. Okay, Taylor Fleming, this guy. If you would like to suggest us stuff, we would love to suggest you stuff. And Taylor Fleming on Twitter has recommended to me. He said, hey, Mrs. Sunday Movies, get out of here, James, in capitals. And I respect that. I strongly suggest Cheer on Netflix. Oh, a lot of people have mentioned this to me. A fantastic doco series about a small Texas cheerleading team. The Cheer Last Chance You creator said these are the toughest athletes he's ever worked with. It's brutal and gorgeous.
Ooh. I've heard this is good, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard really great things too. I'm really excited to get into that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Taylor.
We appreciate it, Taylor.
We appreciate you.
Anyways, we'll be back next week with whatever that thing is we said we'd do. Feel free to send us multiple congratulations on social media. It validates our poor choices. So really, that would be
poor choices.
Just great.
What do you mean? I'm not a poor choice.
Not you, Claire. You're not a poor choice. I'm saying us having children and doing this podcast and making people listen to it as a poor choice.
All right. You just don't like anything.
No. But you know what? Anything should be better and maybe I would like it.
What? Tell me one thing that you do like.
I do like.
Yeah, what do you actually like? Oh.
This should be easier.
I could name many things.
You know what I like
sunshine,
doing?
The sky, chuck chip cookies.
You know one thing I like, aspect of my job that I like making good YouTube thumbnails. Like when I nail it, I really like it.
Is that why you're always showing me them and you're always like, Claire,
what do you think of this one?
Look at this one,
Well, I put something on my Patreon recently of all the different ones that I go through when I try to – no one cares about this – when I try to make a video. And it's like you go through like dozens just to try and get something that you sort of end up liking. And, and when you nail it, like you kind of know and you're like, I've absolutely nailed that. And I recently did one for The Mummy, for the movie The Mummy, and I'm like, that's nailed it. And it was to the suggestion of people in the Patreon. But anyway, I'm trying to bring
so
it
that's
up.
That's something you like.
Yeah. I mean, you told me to name one thing. I named
I
one thing.
I thought you were going to say something like, my beautiful wife. No. My lovely
I'm
son.
I'm not that guy.
My dog. The son.
Oh, I love my dog. Look at all these, Claire. That's just some of them.
Yeah, I know. When you first started creating stuff and we used to just like sit on our couch in our tiny flat, you would just – that was like my whole life was you turning your laptop around showing me, oh, it's so crisp, Brendan Fraser.
He's one of the best.
You love that guy. No, he's good. You love it because you also love Brendan Fraser.
Of course I do.
He got weirdly wide-faced. He was really hot in George of the Jungle.
Yeah, well, he had some personal problems and he got...
Sorry, mate.
He talks about it like how like a producer like groped him and stuff and had a divorce and his body was like broken from like doing action films and that. Yeah, he's had a bit of a tough run, old Brendan Fraser.
Oh, Brendan Fraser. Yeah. I'm sorry, mate.
Mm. It's not really... Fraser, Claire. What it's is it? Fraser. No, it's Fraser. It's Fraser.
Fraser.
Like Malcolm
sorry,
Fraser.
I can't even get your name right. Jeez. Well, he was really good in that Scrubs episode.
He's good in all of those. I think he's in a few, yeah. Anyway, we got to go.
We really got to go. We're out of time. We're out of time.
If this show gets any longer, I'm going to stop doing it because I don't like it. All right, goodbye, everyone.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.